the Christian church. What Jesus embarked on 2,000 years ago was going to change the rest of humanity. I was trying to find some picture of this one video. Hopefully I'll find it for either Good Friday or Sunday. But the fact that God changed the course or changed, you know, life as we know it in one weekend. And that's what God did when Jesus died on the cross for us. And all the things that were paid for, all the things that were covered by his sacrifice on the cross, and 3 days later, God raising him from the dead. I mean, all of that in the course of a weekend, God did some amazing things. And so hopefully I get a chance to find that. But today being Palm Sunday, we are not to forget the significance of today and how it affects our everyday because of what happened this week over 2,000 years ago when Jesus, during this week, it was God's plan and something that we choose to remember and celebrate. So this is the challenge, or I encourage you this week. Find a time to celebrate by yourself, hopefully in times of prayer or devotion. Celebrate. I mean, this is, some of you get all excited and celebrate because your birthday, because the more people you tell, the more gifts you get in return, you know. But just think of this week as a time to celebrate what Jesus did for us. They call it Holy Week. And I mean, call it Hallelujah Week. I mean, every day. I mean, just focus on what Jesus did. And you can look in the Gospels, in the records of what happened this week from the triumphant entry when Jesus walked into Jerusalem, like Shannon preached this morning. And just kind of go along every day and just read a passage of Scripture to the day that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. And so it's just an amazing thing. And so again, let's not just look at the surface events. Jesus walked in, he walked on a donkey. I mean, there's more, like Shannon brought out, the symbolism. This was the king, the great king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who chose to come in on a donkey. Because the same way that he came into this world humble, he walked into Jerusalem humble. He didn't send out invites to everyone and ask them to respond because he's coming to Jerusalem and he wants. I mean, he didn't organize all of this. Other people did. And even the people that found out, hey, what's going on? They were marveled. They were amazed because of what all these people, the ruckus that was being caused for who? Or Jesus, you know, the Jesus of Nazareth, and because of the fact that they realized he was the Messiah. So let's not get caught up and just not just focus on the surface of the events, but look even deeper, because all of the stuff that happened this week over 2,000 years ago was wrapped together part of God's plan for the full payment of our sin and the recompense of every soul to be in right standing with God. All of this for us. All of this for you. For you, all of this that Jesus went through, for you. And so all because of Jesus. Now today, if I give it my sermon or the teaching tonight a title, it's Assist Holy Spirit, Not Resist Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said that it was beneficial for the Spirit to come when he was talking to his disciples. He said, listen, I need to go, but it's beneficial that I go so that I could send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come to us, to fill us, to teach us, to comfort us, and even to empower us. Everyone say, empower us. Yes, that's where the Holy Spirit came. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be bold witnesses for Christ. And so many times we stand in the way. Listen, you stand in the way of what the Spirit wants to do. Think about this. What the Spirit of God wanted you to experience, to listen to, or to do today, you might have stopped him because of you being tired, because of you wanting to go somewhere you wanted to go. And maybe the Spirit was leading for you to just take a turn in your neighborhood and pray for some people. Maybe the Holy Spirit was leading you to do something and you didn't. So we many times stand in the way, and we need to learn not to resist the Holy Spirit, but to assist. Because the Holy Spirit, what he speaks, what he does to us, and what he says to us all comes from the Father. Because as Scripture says, the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. He speaks of what the Father says to us, to reveal the Father's truth to us. And so in these times, we create or there are roadblocks that we allow to stand in the way. And so if you can go ahead and put slide one. You see, our minds play this trick on us. And this is the reason why we should have our minds renewed. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, that our minds be renewed. Romans, right? Yeah, Romans 12. That our mind, I'm getting confused with Hebrews, but it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. That our minds be renewed by God's word. And this is what happens to our minds. It plays a trick on us into seeing something that isn't really there, like a mirage. You see that there's water. We all know, for those of you kids, you don't know, ask an adult. That's not water. That's just the effects of how hot it is and the surface of this world or this planet. And so, but many times our minds play tricks on us. It even causes our feelings. Our feelings do the same thing. Where we feel, therefore we respond. We feel, therefore we act. You might get a feeling tomorrow because of someone saying something or doing something and you, I feel. Listen, you can allow that feeling to dictate your reaction or your actions, or you can look to what the Spirit is saying to do. And again, we create roadblocks or we create where we stop what the Spirit wants to do in us. Even our thoughts take us to places we shouldn't, causes us to think what is going on when there's nothing really going on. You might, I'm not sure those of you that are married, you might understand this. Your spouse or someone says something, you took it the wrong way, you thought they said something, but in your mind, you know that they meant this, but not until you ask them. And even sometimes when you ask them, sometimes there's a little bit of part of you that you don't believe what they're really saying. But causing these thoughts cause us to take us to places or to think of things that's going on that's really not like that mirage. Our minds and our eyes are telling us, I'm sorry, but there's water on that road. When you get closer to it, you realize there's no water. It's a mirage. This is why we can't lean on our own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We can't lean on our own understanding. We are to learn to lean on what God's word says. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not half of your heart, not some of your heart, but all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because you'll get yourself in trouble. You'll cause yourself to resist what the Holy Spirit is saying and what the Holy Spirit is wanting you to do. Thus, what the Holy Spirit is saying and wanting you to do is what God the Father wants you to say, or God the Father wants you to do. Verse 6, in all your ways, again, in all your heart, not some of your heart, not half of your heart, in all your ways, not some of your ways, not half of your ways, not a little bit of your ways, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So this is an important thing that we must learn, because if we're getting in trouble if we lean on our own understanding. We are to learn to lean on God's word. Our past experiences, or the experiences from others, because we hear people's stories. Like if you hear someone's story about a certain restaurant they went to and the bad experience that they had, causes you to what? Never eat there. Not even set your foot in that place, right? Our past experiences and the experiences from others can affect us in what we believe or perceive to be true. So if someone tells you, hey, that restaurant is a trash place, man. I wouldn't eat there. I would never go there. You would not go there based on that person's experience. And you would take for what they said as true. And really, they could either be lying, or they can set such a high bar of what a restaurant ought to be that to you, if you actually went through, you'd be like, I don't see anything wrong. The food was delicious. You know, so again, people's experiences can affect you, can affect us in what we believe or perceive to be true. So my point one is it's not what you think. As we were looking at those little pictures, it's not what you think. It's just something that our mind tells us what to believe. The flesh has a way of thinking that is contrary to the Spirit. If we'll go to Romans chapter 8, verses 2. We also find in chapter 7 that this is why Paul speaks of a battle that's going on between the flesh and the Spirit in Romans chapter 7. Actually, in verse 23, he actually says that there is a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And so we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 2, it says, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Isn't that a good verse? Praise the Lord. "Has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh," Jesus coming in form of flesh, "on account of sin. He condemned sin to the flesh." Jesus died on the cross, and our sins were nailed to that cross also. You see, the law was not God's. Now, when I read this, I thought some people would probably think, God, that your law was just a waste of time. It wasn't a waste of time. It wasn't a fake plan. It was God's plan. And so it wasn't God's fake plan to give his people's rules to just follow rules. Let me ask this, and you just throw your answers up to the stage here. What are some house rules that you have in your home? Before you go outside, you have to do your chores. Any other rules? Yes. If you leave the light on in your bedroom, you leave the light on in your bedroom. You got to do push-ups. Yes, Ezra. No throwing things in the house. Anybody else? A rule? Yes, Braden. No running in the house. Notice that the kids shouted, and not one adult gave a rule. All right. Now, say what? Do a chore before you play a video game. All right. Now, for these rules, I don't believe any of the parents set these rules just to set a rule, just to show dominate, you know, just to show, you know, domination in the house, or that I have power in the house. There's specific reasons for those rules. You see, when God gave us the law, it had a purpose. It was to teach them that they need God. It was to teach them that there's a God who loves them, and that God has these rules, and it was for their benefit. So the rules that we have in these houses, in your house, there's a purpose for that rule. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's go there real quick. Galatians chapter 3, it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" Verse 2, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" What is he telling the Galatians? Hey, listen, someone has tricked you. You have come to believe, realize, and act out that what God is wanting to give you has been done or is accomplished by the flesh. No, it's by the spirit. By the spirit, this stuff has been brought to you, brought to us. Now let's go to verses, drop down to verse, on one more verse. "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" Verse 5. "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law?" Answer? No. "Or by the hearing of faith?" Yes, by faith. Now let's drop down to verse 19. "What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions." We need it. They needed it. "Till the seed should come." See, seeds, capital S. Who's that? Jesus. "Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." Who's that mediator? Jesus. Verse 20. "Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law." But that's not how it is. Verse 22. "But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor." I think in the King James might say schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith. Verse 25. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Because of faith, because of Jesus, faith in Jesus, we no longer need a tutor. And so God gave these laws to give evidence that it could not be followed fully in the flesh. The law, which is the schoolmaster or teacher, taught us that we were in great need of God the Father. And so therefore the law could not be accomplished through our flesh. It was not a waste of times. It wasn't just a bunch of rules that God just wanted to see a bunch of people do a bunch of things because he wanted to throw his weight around. No, but it was a way to foretell the importance that the capital S seed, the coming Messiah, would soon come. God sends his own son in human form, Jesus Christ, to condemn sin, as it says in Romans 8, verse 3, to condemn sin through his flesh, his body. My second point, assist Holy Spirit. Don't resist him. So in our assisting with the Holy Spirit, we realize that it's not what we think. It's not how we feel. It's what the Spirit says. Therefore, the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law. So we need to assist the Holy Spirit in what God wants to do in us. Romans chapter 8, verses 4. It says, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want to read this starting in verse 3, verses 3 and 4. Because I had to read this again when I was preparing for this and studying, and I'm thinking, this is really cool. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak, through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So because of the law, we could not accomplish it in the flesh. So God understood that. He knows that. So he sends his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh in the form of a man. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here's where we get in trouble. We don't believe or see ourselves as vessels to fulfill God's plan. Now, I didn't say it. It says here in verse 4, there is a purpose for the law. The law came and to be our tutor, but because of the law, it was weak, it cannot be accomplished in the flesh. Therefore, God sends his own son to die for our sins. He came in the form of a flesh, verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in you, in me. But it's got to be fulfilled in a certain way. Not by thinking with our minds, not by thinking by what we see, not by believing by what we see, but by what the Spirit says, by what the Spirit reveals, by what the Spirit tells us what God is saying. To be fulfilled in you and in me, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this is where we get in trouble, because you see yourself as a person, I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. Proverbs 11:30, he who wins souls is wise. I can't win anybody to Christ. I just can't. So this is why the great majority of the church doesn't witness, because they don't believe themselves as able to win someone to Christ. This ought to be something that we have the answer. We have the antidote, and it's Jesus. We ought to be compelling other people to know and to know him and to receive of him. We ought to. It says he who wins souls is wise. I'm not sure about you, but I want to be wise. Many don't believe, and maybe that's you today, and I want to encourage you to hear what the Spirit is saying. Quit listening to what you feel, to what you believe, to what you perceive, that you are not able to do this, such and such. You are not able to do that. You're not able to teach. You're not able to preach. You're not able to be a missionary. Listen, if God is leading and calling you to be that, you need to understand that this is what God wants you to do. This is why God created you. But if you hold on to what you feel, what you perceive, and we just saw that video, we can perceive things that are not really there, that look a certain way. Who are you listening to? What are you believing in? So when many people don't believe that they're able to make any difference, so you know what they do? Nothing. They don't do anything. They come to church. They might sing a song or two. They might come to Bible study. They'll come to, you know, they'll come to church, but they don't do anything. And that is a tragedy. When we as believers in Christ, we don't see ourselves like that. But here, verse 4, underline it if you want to, but the righteous requirement of the law, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in you, in me. Not if we're walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus came to condemn sin by dying on the cross for you, so that God can do his work in you. So the plan that God has for your life might be fulfilled, but it's not going to be fulfilled if you're walking according to the flesh, if you're believing what you see and how you feel. You'll be able to accomplish that. How many of you would love, at the end of your life, when you stand before God, you look back. Now, I know that, I know I have a lot of regrets, but if I look back at my life and I stand before God and I look back, I really do want to be able to accomplish what God wanted me to accomplish. And the sad thing would be is that we look back and God reveals all the things that he had planned for us, and we only just did one thing. Because we believe this lie, I can't do it. We believe this perception that, well, that's just not me. That wasn't my personality. We need to renew our minds. We need to know what God says. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. And our minds being renewed by God's word. He did all the work, and God is still doing the work in you and in me today. But we need to be available for his work. Again, it was and still is God's plan to use you, to use me. But we need to remember, we need to understand that we need to fulfill this, his plan, by walking according to the Spirit. Something about our thinking, something about our flesh thinking, you might want to call it traditional thinking. It results to restrictive thinking because it originates from man, from you. It's structured by you. It's cut off by by mankind's experiences or thoughts. Just think about what you think about. Just think about what you think of yourself. Do we all have low self-esteem? Do we all look at ourselves through the lenses of God? Do we all look at ourselves by what other people say? Do we look at ourselves by who our ancestors were? Do we look at ourselves by what God's word says? Those are very opposite sides of the spectrum on what God says we are, or what other people have said, or other people have said who we are, or even who you say you are. Go to the second slide. Now, the little cartoon, y'all know who that is? All right, Moses. The picture on the right side, that's the Red Sea. You ask anybody, you tell anybody, they walk to the Red Sea. Do you believe that God can separate that? It'd be very difficult for them to believe that. I mean, really, if we were to stand right in front of the Red Sea, we know the story. The Red Sea split open and they walked on dry ground. But go actually to the Red Sea and actually, can you believe that? Can you see that? Can you believe that it happened? And can you actually see what actually happened in Scripture? You see, something about our thinking of the flesh, it's traditional or it's restrictive. And therefore, this is where we get in trouble, because we believe that God can't do it. God can't use us. We're supposed to have spiritual thinking. You guys remember WWJD, what would Jesus do? What does Jesus think? What does Jesus know? What is he saying about me? What scriptures lead your decision making? You see, I've walked into a store before, and someone's in a wheelchair. And the God I know has the ability to cause that person to jump out of that wheelchair. Ask me, did I go up to that person and say, hey, do you want to walk again? If you asked me, my answer would say, no, I didn't walk up to them. But I know that there's a God who can heal them. Have you ever experienced when the Spirit said something to you and you didn't respond? You didn't obey? What could have? What could have happened? What should have happened? All those thoughts go through your mind. And so what scriptures lead you in your decision making? The decisions you're making, are they led by what you think of yourself? Are they restricted by what you think you're able to do? Or are they governed by what the Spirit says? Aligning our lives with and by Scripture helps us and leads us in the right direction. Also frees us from guilt, shame, or possibly depression. Possibly lots of regrets. If I can just get a volunteer. James, yes, I see your hand raised up. Come on up, James. James, do you get sick when you get dizzy? No, you don't throw up, right? He doesn't throw up, does he? All right, I'm just going to spin you around. When you are thinking what you feel and what you see, and you don't look at what God says, we lose our bearing. Now walk straight. We lose our bearing. I wasn't thinking you were going to fall down that far. You have a seat. All right. Thank you. We lose our bearing instead of walking straight in the direction God wants us to walk. We end up walking in an opposite direction. We end up not walking straight in God's direction. And this is what happens when we don't align ourselves with what Scripture says. And so we roam around. Ask yourself. I've asked myself this many times. And yes, I've answered myself, so I'm not weird or crazy. But I've asked myself, what am I doing? What am I doing? God, am I making a difference? Is my life making a point in this world? What is my life saying to other people? You see, if you're allowing the flesh to lead you and you have restrictive thinking and you are resisting what the Spirit is saying, you're losing your bearing. And you're just roaming around in life, and you're not allowing the Spirit to lead you. You're not allowing God to do what He wants you to do. Listen, every Tuesday I put my hand on that banner and I pray Luke 4:18-19, and I believe that this is what God wants us to do. But then I begin to think of how many people don't even just do one. Preach the gospel to the poor. How many people don't see themselves as, I am able to do those things. I am able to continue to do what Jesus, because Jesus started that. Because when he quoted that from Isaiah in the temple in Scripture, that it says that day that Scripture was fulfilled. He started that. And we are to continue what he started. And the verse that we pray that the harvest is white and plentiful. And it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. I caught myself one day saying, wait a minute, wait, God. There's a lot of people in this church. Why am I asking you to send forth laborers? God, I want you to send everybody in this church out to the highways and byways and to compel people to come. This is the problem. We don't see ourselves as able to even do one of those things. So you know what? I won't do any of them. That's the problem. We are resisting the Spirit, and you don't believe that you are. And I pray that none of us in this room are. But if the Spirit reveals that you are in an area, repent. But listen, if you're resisting and you're just restricting yourself, you're roaming around dizzy. We're just walking in circles in this life. And this is what I don't want. I don't want my life to just say, okay, I pastored a church, but you know what? I can still pastor this church and still make no impact in the world, in the community that I live in. That is possible. I can preach, I can pray for people, but God, I can roam around and lose my bearing. In what ways do I resist the Spirit, Pastor? In what ways? When he says go and you say no. When he says let go and you continue to hold on. When he says, speak my truth, and we still believe, or when he says, speak my truth, and we refuse to, when he says, believe my truth, and we still believe what we feel. Those are the ways that we resist the Spirit. My last point is dominate your thoughts. You see, when I talked about restrictive thinking and thinking what we see, what we perceive, this can dominate our thinking to where we can't even do one of those things. Why? Because we're dominated by, well, my family, no one in my family has ever become a pastor. So what in the world am I doing here? You look in your past and you allow the people in your past to dictate how you're thinking and who you'll become. You might end up like them. Or you'll just end up like I'm saying, roaming around. You've lost your bearing and you're just walking in circles and you're not allowing the Spirit of God to use you. We can dominate those thoughts though. Scripture says that we can yank them down and arrest those thoughts that try to exalt against the knowledge of Christ. Who is Christ? Our Savior, our Provider, our Deliverer, the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. And so we can allow our thoughts to dominate us. This is why we are to assist. When we assist the Holy Spirit, we draw closer to where God wants us to be. When we resist the Holy Spirit, we take ourselves farther than where God wants us to be. Dwayne Sheriff says this in a message. We've played him. If you've never heard of Dwayne Sheriff, just find he's on YouTube. But he says, we try to disqualify ourselves because we are aware of our own weaknesses. Your insecurities can be your ruin if you hold on to those insecurities. I know I got some insecurities. I know that I'm insecure in some areas. But if I allow those things to dominate me and keep me from doing what God wants me to do, those things will rule and dominate me. Moses. He had an insecurity. He stuttered. He couldn't talk right. Yet God still used him. Moses could not believe that he was able to do what God wanted him to do. And yet God used a burning bush to talk to this man. And yet God can't use you. This is something that is strange. We believe that God created those trees out there, but yet he can't create us to be the person he wants us to be. Well, you know, you just don't know me, Pastor. I'm just timid. You just don't know me, Pastor. You know, my whole family, we're just all shy. We just, you know, don't know. Listen, if God can create those trees and create them to be beautiful and tall, he can do great things in you. Again, step over that restrictive thinking and that traditional thinking of, well, you know, that's God and that's, you know, the stories in the Bible, but he's not doing. Listen, God is same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Our weaknesses, Dwayne Sheriff continues to say, our weaknesses don't disqualify us. I like this. They actually qualify us because in our weaknesses, God exhibits his strength and ability in us to use us. Again, I want to read what we read earlier in Romans chapter 8. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. God wants to do great things in us and through us if we're walking according to the Spirit. Let's find out what else Dwayne Sherr says. And our weakness is when God can exhibit his strength and ability to use us. That we are able to magnify God while we remain humble ourselves and keep our eyes looking on God. I found this, I guess, some quote. I can't remember who it was. But dominant thinking that lines up with God's word unlocks greatness in God. Dominant thinking that lines up with God's word. So we can dominate our thoughts and allow God's word to dominate all the other lies and the thoughts of how we feel, what other people say, and even what our flesh might be thinking. It unlocks the greatness of God. Dominant thinking that lines up with the flesh and sin unlocks great wickedness
in sin. That's when I came across that, I wrote it and I put a little sticky note and left it by my computer to remind me, Rick, I have the ability to dominate my thoughts, and those thoughts need to line up with Scripture so that this would unlock the great things that God wants to do in me. I believe that He created me, not just to create me to just, well, I got nothing else to do. Yeah, I'll go ahead and create Rick. No, but there's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for my life. Romans 8, verse 6 through 11. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. And if Christ is in you, the body is what? Dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Why are you lying? Why are you believing in a lie? Why are you believing in how you feel? It doesn't say that, but I just thought I'd, you know, just point this out. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Paul understood this. And we are able to fight for our souls, and because our flesh is working against us. The more we try to analyze what we're doing or not doing can bring confusion, separation, dizziness, off the direction that God wants us to be on. But if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we have our bearing right. We're walking straight. We're thinking straight. We're acting when we're responding to the things that God wants us to act and respond to. We need to tap into the power and ability that is found in the Holy Spirit. Here it says the Holy Spirit is the one who raised Jesus from the dead and He dwells in you. So what excuses can you come up with that trumps this? None. You can come up with a whole load full of excuses, and it doesn't trump what this verse says. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So if the Spirit is leading you to do something, line up with what the Spirit is saying. Tap into that power and the ability. The ability to raise Jesus from the dead dwells in every believer to give us what? Life. Life to our mortal bodies. That word life, in the King James, it's quicken, and it's zopoio. To revitalize, to make alive, to give life. Listen, we need to learn to repent and stand on God's word and walk in God's word in faith. So if there's an area that the Spirit is revealing to you, reminding you that you're resisting Him, right now say, God, forgive me. Father, I want to line up with Scripture. I want to line my thoughts with what Scripture says, and I'm able to do this. So when you create an opportunity next time, I'm going to jump in with everything I got, and I'm going to do what you're wanting me to do. Just repent. Start there. Stand on what God's Word says and walk on that. Number two, again, assist Holy Spirit by allowing Him and God's Word to lead your everyday. Number three, fulfill God's plan for your life. By remembering that He wants to use you. I want to look back when I'm standing before God and look behind me, if there's anything behind me, but I'm just using this as an example, to look behind me and to see the things that God had wanted me to do, that I accomplished that, not in my own strength, but in His own strength, in His strength, by His ability. I don't want to look around and see empty, if there's places, empty places that I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda. If I only just was led by the Spirit and not by my flesh, I want to be able to see that, God, what You called me to do, I made myself available and humbled myself to You, and You used me. Thank You, Father.